This book about Baba is big, but it's nowhere near what people in the future will write. You know, they'll write like, 10 volumes on just 1931. The collected works and all the correspondence and all.
But, thank goodness Baba destroyed my correspondence in the war. All that early correspondence.
To Shiva's father, he kept repeating one phrase again and again, make it interesting.
Right.
He doesn't want it dry.
Don't make it intellectual. Because Baba didn't want anything intellectual. So he really jumped on that.
It is very interesting the way Baba has written it. For example, there'll be a Chanji will describe an incident that happened. Well, rather than do that, without it, he's put it in conversational form as Chanji and Baba would have talked. Because he was so close to Baba, he knew what Baba would have said. So you'll get this. When you read it, it's really interesting. Now, of course, wasn't there. He doesn't know that Chanji said these exact words and Baba said, you idiot, why did you do this? But it makes it really interesting to read it. And it's like dramatic. So it is very interesting to read.
It was so funny. It was so marvelous that Baba came down to our level and would say things like, you idiot.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? You don't expect God to say things like that. But why not? After all, he created it all, idiots and everything else.
Oh, yeah. There's some really funny stories.
No, I hope they've got some of those because
that
was part of Baba's great charm.
Now, see, one thing, Elizabeth, she was always trying to, at least this is my impression, she wanted to present Baba in the way she thought was a proper way. For example, she didn't want photographs of Baba with a beard. And I mean, to me, that's silly. But she
it's like that.
She underestimates people's ability. People's love for Baba. I don't know, but this book, that's why.
You see, Baba was everything, and that's the point that one had to realize.
I mean, I think Elizabeth wouldn't like some of the things that are in this biography because it's, for example, that there's this, Sidhu, maybe that old Indian disciple, I don't know if he's dead now, but he was very simple, a villager kind of person, and once these sweets came during the prem ashram time for the boys, and Baba distributed each share, and he put it in his mouth. And ate his share. And Baba turned to him and said, you ate yours, you pig, before the boys ate, before my boy, you don't have any shame, you're just gulping and gulping. Now take it out, come on, bring it out. And Sidhu took him literally and put his hand in his mouth to try to vomit it, and Baba laughed and laughed and laughed, Now Elizabeth might think that's
she would feel it was in the parka.
Yeah, but it happened and it was very funny, and it showed Baba's naturalness and how much he was on our level.
Well, I don't think Elizabeth would like my telling that very simple story about Baba and the toilet paper.
I didn't hear that.
You weren't there. I've told that down, and I haven't told it before, but I haven't told it for a long time. First of all, this was in Ceylon, and we were sitting around Baba up in the second house in Ceylon, up on the hills, in the tea plantation.
Yeah.
And an argument came up between the East and the West. The East was very fond of attacking the West because, naturally, the West had taken over their country. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
There was all that we had to live through, especially the English. And they were always accusing the Westerners of being dirty. One was that in the West we sat in hot baths.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did explain carefully that if it's a cold night and you're going to have pneumonia and you get in a hot bath very often, you're saved from getting a bad cold. And a hot bath is a wonderful thing to sit in. You can always rinse if you really feel you're dirty, all that.
Yeah.
Well, this argument went right. Then they started on this terrible conversation about toilet paper and water.
Yeah.
I think that still goes on in India, doesn't it? Well, Baba was laughing, and the Indians were saying yes, and it's very dirty, and they explained how dirty it was. And Nadine Tolstoy, who was very sick of this conversation and thought she'd sued the whole thing over, she said, well, my idea is, Baba, that perhaps we could use both. So Baba was delighted. So we went round Ceylon in the bus sometimes to do a bit of sightseeing, and we came to a village. And there were toilets in the center of the village, awful wooden things. I must say, they smelt for miles around. But anyway, we had to go. And Baba and everybody said, hurry, 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 because we don't want to keep the bus and the cars waiting. So Nadine disappeared into one of them. And she didn't come out for a long, long time. And everyone said, what's Nadine doing? We all want our turn. And what's this? And Baba looked there very solemn and he came up with his board and he said, she is probably using both.
That's very funny.
Well, I don't know whether Elizabeth would quite have liked that story, but it was funny.
Yeah, you know, see, that's why they, you know, they eat with their, that's why they only eat with their right hand. No, I'm sorry. They don't only eat with their left hand.
Which hand do they eat with?
That's what I'm saying. They only eat with the right hand. They never eat with the left. They never accept the side with the left. You see, that's the reason.
I see.
Because of that. Because they use their left to clean themselves.
Hmm.
You know, they, if you stick out your hand for prasad, they'll say, you know, always with the right. Although it's considered
a sacrilege. I see. Well, the point, another thing is, they were attacking us again about, what was it now? A water, you know, using water, pen. And I said, well, Baba, I think there's one thing that's very dirty that the Indians do. I said, they will come out of their meal and gargle, oh, spit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, spit. They always gargle. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah.
Gargle and spit on the ground. And then said, a few minutes later, they're picking up the dust off the ground to wash their plates. I said, I don't think that's clean. And that wasn't popular. I really, they go for it. They weren't using me at all. Well, it's no worse than what we were doing, really.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're clean enough. We can't be perfect. Do our best.
Yeah,
but those happen. Things that came up in front of Baba, they were very funny.
It's so natural.
Hmm?
Because Baba was so natural.
So natural about it. But I've written that story down about him. I've written a few more stories down that I didn't write when I wrote the book. I like that one of Nadine saying,
yeah,
Baba saying.
That is very funny. You think you're going to have a second body?
No. What I thought was I've got some stories that I can't tell because they're backbiting. They're really backbiting. And there's some about Ivy. Very good ones, my dear. You wouldn't believe it, and I can't tell them.
But, you and Lily were just
living. No, no, yeah.
Different children. I've never met her.
She is a charming woman, right. She has charm. I like her. But I can't, I can't have anything to do with it because her one ambition is to prove she is the most spiritual woman in the West. And her dear friend, her new friend, Mackay's sister. And also she has this great yearning for a phenomena, occult things.
Yeah.
That's her big trouble, I think.
Weakness.
And yet, Baba said, out with it. And explained why, and especially as to why.
Yeah.
But she longed for that. She always had that. Do you remember that woman? What's her name?
Astrologer,
a psychic,
yeah.
Who gave her advice, and she wouldn't move without this woman said, do this or do that.
Mm-hmm.
And as Baba said, all right, your stars say this is going to happen. He said, because I don't take the answer of the stars. What's going to happen if you love me is what's happening when you love me. That's right.
I control the stars,
yes. Mm-hmm. And she has very nice manners. And she's a very different woman. She doesn't have her own life.
Does she ever write to you or call you?
Yes, she called me. To my surprise, after this Mackay thing came up, this just happened about 6 months ago, and she was looking around for people to join her and back Mackay up. She wrote me and asked me if I'd go down to where she lives and speak to her group. Well, I mean, I couldn't because how could I? I couldn't go down there and not, if they spoke to me about Mackay, I couldn't not say what I thought.
Yeah.
And besides, anyway, I had an excuse. I said, I'm too old, which is true. I didn't want to trace right across the country and sit about it with Ivy and Doug. But Ivy didn't like me.
Yeah.
She attacked me from the beginning. But I Norina and Elizabeth had gone back to India, and I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And on Baba's birthday, Ida gave a party. Now, this wasn't my fault, I assure you. And she was being very grand. She just met Baba, you see, but she was already beginning to want to take charge of everything she saw. And in came the king. And Ivy was sort of getting ready to cut it, and some silly idiot said, "Oh, and we've only got one of Baba's circle here. Margaret, she'll have to cut the cake." And Ivy never forgave me. I had to cut the cake. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't politely say, "Oh, no, Ivy, you cut the cake," because there was no reason for it. She'd only just met Baba for a few hours.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason for saying it.
Yeah.
And from that time, she was very much against me for some years.
Yeah.
I was... But there were several things that came up. She invited Baba to her place in New York. And all her Sufis came, and anyone else could come. At lunchtime, she served lunch in the same room to Baba, and everybody was driven away. And during lunch, Baba said, "Where's Margaret?" And Ivy said, "Margaret," so she didn't know who I was. And Baba said, he knew that she was against me. He said, "As Adi is, and as these people are, she's of my group. But she should be here to lunch with him. Remember another time," or something like that. I don't know. So when I came back, Ivy apologized. She was awfully nice. Well, then the next time was here. A friend of mine who died, very devoted to Baba, very loving and amusing woman. She was with Baba in the Dragoon cabin, and in comes Ivy with a list of dinner guests that are going to her house at Washington. When the whole Baba went there with everybody. And Baba read the list, and he said, spelled out on the board, "Where's Margaret?" I said, "Margaret, she never heard of me again." And he said, "I have told you she is to be treated as the others are, my disciple, my..." Yes. All right, I went to that. But I shouldn't have known about that. Had Naomi not been in that room. And the third time, that was a funny one. And I don't know if she ever realized what happened. She must have, he made it so clear. There was a dinner given in, I think it was Hollywood. One of those places over there. And for Baba, and the disciples, and Ivy's followers, and any people around in that part. There weren't too many in those days. And the room was a long, thin room. And down the center were tables like this. You see, one after the other, not round the room at all. And the center table of the room, Baba was sitting with his disciples. He came in, he saw I'd been put about four tables away. So he didn't say anything, he sat down. And then he stood up and sent his own disciples away. And who do you think he called? Not me. He called all the dancers. Over.
Yes.
They brought a market, you have a dancer.
Yes. Yes.
And then he didn't stay for the dinner, he only stayed with one ring. But yes. She never treated me badly again.
Yes. She learned her lesson by then.
Well, it was silly. I wasn't pushing myself forward. Yes. Did you imagine?
He was jealous.
Well,
in the West.
In the West, yes. No, she's an odd woman. But there's something in her, though. Something that I like. Strange. What?
I've never met her.
Well, I used to have breakfast with her sometimes when she came up to New York, and she'd stay at a nice hotel and invite me around to breakfast. Mm-hmm. And then she was like a child, and she showed me all the new clothes she'd bought. And you know, there was something about her that was really charming. But this terrible ambition. Because Mackay, she adores, he says she's the greatest spiritual woman in the world, West. Well, of course, he's in a very popular state with her.
Hmm.
Have you ever, you not seen him?
He came to India, and I met him there when I was living there.
How did he behave there?
I thought, you know, he was like a psychiatrist. He brought his patients with about five or six women. And he didn't strike me as being anything. I mean, you know, he met them on the way, he sat and went from dog stores. He was a little bit strange, but all psychiatrists probably.
Did he wag his head around then?
No.
He hadn't started that.
No, what does he do?
Well, he sits. And then you go.
Is he exercising? Or?
Well, I mean, he's curing. And he doesn't do it. Well, he could, I mean, but not in this way. It's not just the neck muscles, it's a big, huge circle with the head. And after all, he's old enough not to do that in public.
Yeah. It's like while everyone's sitting around.
Yes. Yeah. He'll ask you a question. No, he's something for susceptible youngsters to avoid because he has charisma.
I thought he was like from another planet or something.
Perhaps he's, perhaps that's the trouble.
He's one of those, because he looks a little strange.
A little strange. You didn't feel his charm?
No.
Well, the youngsters do. Yeah. Youngsters feel his charm. And he's trying to say that you have to know to love Baba. Now that Baba's dead, you've got to love someone else first and he's suitable. But why love someone else first? There's only Baba. You can help him to go to Baba.
Yeah, I've heard that
to
people, that she's a nice woman.
But my own opinion is, she is not very bright over this question of, or if she's overwhelmed with this longing to be important. That was there, obviously. I think that's a pretty dangerous thing.
It's probably blind you to your weaknesses, you know. She can't see that how she's in her longing to be important, she's sort of given up some of the holding of the bottle as much as she should.
Well, she thinks she's on the sixth plane. Baba didn't say so. But let me tell her. Let me tell her. You get to the sixth plane, and the distance between the first plane and the sixth plane is between, same as between the sixth and the seventh. So she's only halfway there. She is on the sixth plane. I'd like to write and tell her that.
I mean, when people hear that, like in India, like she was father, they just laugh.
Well, of course. I mean, who knows where you are? And I don't think it matters very much. Really, it doesn't matter. It's Baba. I don't know. Saw a man once that Baba said he was on the fourth plane. He stared at him very hard. I don't know who he was. He came to Nasik. There was one that teenager went and sat with her head on his shoulder thinking she was getting on quick, much quicker than we were. We were funny, and there was Jean sitting with her head on this man's shoulder, and Baba opened the door. He got Jean out of there and hurry and kicked her off. Poor Jean. Jean was terribly ambitious. She was like Norina. She went to bed for a week when she first saw Norina. Mary's relationship with Baba.
Mary Beckett.
No, not Mary Beckett. She was very
sweet. Oh, Mara.
Yes, Mara's position with Baba.
That was in Nasik.
In Nasik. She went to bed for a week. She said, that was my place. Well, if it had been her place, she would have got it.
Actually, in the book, you know, she does, in her book, she mentions Mara as being special.
Oh, well, I think she's accepted it by that time, but not at first.
Right.
She was very upset about it. You were funny. But still, it was a good thing Baba saw us that way, or he'd kill us.
Have something.
Well, what would you have had to clear out if you'd all been nice people?
Right, if you're already perfect, what's the point?
What would you have done? We'd have been absolutely no use. And they were all very lively people, Grandstone and I mean, people that were alive. Really nice, quiet, gentle people. There weren't any of them, except the Beckets. And I don't know, there was something about them. They were sweet.
Kitty seems like out of the Bible.
They looked alike. Large blue eyes. I mean, not just larger, But they were really large blue eyes. And they stood side by side. They looked like brother and sister almost. Yeah.
Were you with Father when you went to their house in England?
Yes. Oh, they were really...
Will did a lot of work for Father.
He did all that early writing.
Well, I mean, did he make contacts and organize meetings and books?
Oh, yes. Yes, he did all the... He did all the London work. No, he was very good. He was a good organizer. He'd been on something to do with the stock exchange. He was a businessman. He knew how to organize. And he'd also been with Inyat Khan. They were Sufis, but not Ivy's Khan. And what's her name? Mary was said that to follow the spiritual path, you must be celibate. And when she married Will, he promised.
Yeah.
He had a nervous breakdown for a bit. It went over. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all clear. And they were so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, they were doing their best to find God when they found Baba. It was so funny. I was hearing Will say to Baba one day, Baba. No, Baba. Last night, Baba hadn't asked him. He said, what are you having? He said, I was having my bath, and I looked at my arm, and I knew that my arm was your arm. Well, of course he did. But he was right.
Yeah.
If you go back to the beginning, everything is God. So sweet. No, he did a lot of work. Very good work in London.
I mean, he made told a lot of people about Baba.
Yes. He wrote to, I think it was there, he wrote to some relation of the Queen. I've forgotten who it was. Do you remember that story? And she answered nicely the first time, and I think the second time when he wrote again, and said that she'd go ahead with it, or, you know, something rather patronizing. She rather wrote him and snubbed him. I can't remember the words, but it was very funny.
Mm-hmm.
No, he had no fear. He attacked everybody.
Mm-hmm.
No, here's his marriage, his love and Mary's love. It was quite beautiful. Because already before they'd come to Baba, they were willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And yet, Khan's been a nice little chap. I don't know what's going to do.
Yeah, I think he was genuine.
Yes, I think so too. How did he come to break from the other Sufis? Sufis all broke up, of course, at the time when Ivy came in.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I think after he died was when it happened.
Yes. Well, I mean...
When he died?
Directly the master dies, someone springs up, they all want to take charge. That's thunder. Is it?
I don't think so. It's just a tree.
Oh, I thought it was a hurricane that arrived.
I mean, it's still pouring.
Pouring. How are you going to get back? Have you got a car?
No, I've got a jacket and a hat. Maybe, it seems like someone's taking out the car.
Well, you better go back with him.
I'm going to go back. Actually, that walk. You see, when I've been working on this, Hermes is doing this very good book, but I'm editing Baba's biography, which is a very large, it's mentioned in there.
Yes.
They are probably with Edmund, so I'm doing the editing on that.
Uh-huh.
And during this trip, I've been collecting some more information from the Western Baba lovers, because when her father wrote this, he was not able to contact people personally, so he's collected much from India, but from the West he's been a little bit limited, so I'm trying to balance out the text.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to ask you a few questions about your meetings with Baba and a little bit like that, and a little bit about Nara also. First of all, I want to make sure I have the names and spelling. Let me just...
6 November
12th.
Yes.
And your children were there when Baba came?
Yes, in 52.
Right.
Three girls. Mm-hmm. Rona is the eldest.
R-O-N-A, and she is born in 40. Yes. And Monica, that's the one who is in California. Mm-hmm. She's born 1941. Mm-hmm. And Verena, V-E-R-E-N-A. She's born 1944.
Does Max have a second name?
Adolf.
Adolf.
Yes.
And your second name?
Sophie.
P-H-I.
Sophie A-A-I-A.
Right. Right. I'm just we're just getting four names, right?
Yes, yes.
The first name.
But those names are never mentioned, no, so to say. Yeah.
I mean, you'll always be in the text.
Yes.
Right. So, before Baba came in 52, you had not met him, is that correct? Or
no.
That was the first meeting.
We first heard of Baba in 1941. Mm-hmm. Max was very ill at that time. He had done the military championship, and he had a bad cold, and from that bad cold, a bronchitis, and then a pleuritis, and then a pneumonia, and then thrombophlebitis came out, and he was at home for 3 months, very ill. And at that time, I had 2 little children. Monica was just 3 months old, and Rona 15 months. And then the doctors didn't dare to transport him to the hospital because he would have died on the transport, so he stayed at home. And, of course, I didn't have time to look at the mailers, so I just heaped it up on a big heap. And when Max, for the first time, could get up from the bed to the armchair, he looked at this heap there, and between all these things, there was a little pamphlet of Baba, given out by Walter and Hedy Mertens in German. And as I later read, Baba had ordered them to distribute about, I think, 5,000 copies of a pamphlet about Baba. And so I suppose that they asked some bookshops and editors about addresses of people who are interested in spiritual things. And I had ordered some time ago some spiritual books, but for instance, I think the story of the Masters of the Far East from Bert Spalding, quite known. And so I suppose that she got my address there because it was addressed to me. And I was not born in Switzerland, but in Germany, and only was in Switzerland since I was married, only a good 2 years ago. So I didn't know anybody because it was war at that time also, so, and we lived in a tiny village outside. So I can't imagine any other way how she came to my address. And then Max read this booklet. First there was a picture outside, long hair and so, and he always distasted that. He said, oh, but because he had nothing to do, he was ill, so he looked at it. And then he said to me, well, it's quite interesting. You must read that. That's a man who dares to say old things. Not normally, you always want to put forward some new items. So he says old things, but it's very well said. And then after some weeks later, he went to a hospital, to a sanatorium in the south of Switzerland. And in the meantime, I contacted Hedy Mertens and asked her if there was some more literature about Baba. And she sent as a perfect master of Charles Burton. And I gave, and later on, Max came home after some time, but he wasn't well at that time. And the doctor, when he saw him, said, well, that's impossible. And he arranged that he went to another sanatorium, and he stayed there for near 2 years more. And in that sanatorium, he read as a perfect master and thought, that is such a marvelous book. I must translate that into German. It will be a bestseller. And so he translated it, but of course very roughly, and showed it to some other people, and they thought, well, that's strange. Didn't like it at all. And so he didn't continue. But later on, this translating work proved to be a most necessary and efficient thing for his future job, because after he returned from that sanatorium, he already before he had troubles with his boss, and they quarreled all the time, and it was very bad. And so in 47, I arranged with a school which where I knew the boss, if I could work there and stay there with my three girls, so that Max would be free to choose any job. At that time, it was still difficult. And I went there. And in the meantime, Max found a new job in Zurich, in a bank. And then when we were in Zurich, we contacted Hedy Mertens more than before, because we were quite near then, and the war was over. And so that's why she asked me in 52, when Baba unexpectedly decided to come to Switzerland.
Had you had correspondence with Baba before?
Directly? With Baba, no, never. And that is to say, when Max was ill in that sanatorium, he was very desperate, because he had a family with two little babies, and his health was very bad. And he thought, what shall I do? Of course, it was still wartime. And so he sent a telegram to Baba. But wartime, one never knows if it has arrived or not. So he never got an answer. But one day when he was in that hospital, the nurse came in, and he was translating the perfect master, and she asked, what are you doing? Well, I'm translating. And she looked at the book and said, there are quite many words similar in English and French. And she just picked out one word. Oh, patience, patience. And she turned some page. Oh, there's another one. Coincidence, it's the same. And then she turned again. Oh, there's another one. Prudence. Prudence. And so she went out, and all of a sudden Max had the feeling that's the answer of Baba. Of course he couldn't say it is, but he had a very strong and sure feeling that's the answer. Be patient, it will come one day. One day you will meet me, and be prudent. But otherwise, we never had any correspondence or so. And when I was in that school, before Max got his new job in Zurich, it was very difficult to find a flat at that time. I stayed in that school, a boarding school, for about 8 months, I think, until he had found a flat in Zurich. And at that time, that was already in 78, end of 47, beginning of 48, she sent me the avatar of Jean Adriel. Mm. Had just come out, and you couldn't order it yet because it was in America, and there was no way to send it. And I was so enthusiastic that I thought I must translate that, so that my people who don't know English can read it. And because I was working all day, I could only do it in the early morning hours from 3 to 7. So, and I translated it very roughly too, just from the book into the typewriter. No long searching for a good style or for best words. But that too, it wasn't translated for printing. It was just for personal use. Mm-hmm. And later, it was strange. My people didn't, were not enthusiastic at all. So I didn't continue with that.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you could describe just your first impression when you first met
them. Yes. Well, then, of course, having read all these books and having read how Norina met him first and all this Anita, and so, of course, I imagined when I meet Baba, well, I will burst into tears or anything like that. And he came by car from Zurich to Locarno, Solduno. And he was due, say, at, we were awakening him for about 8 o'clock or so. Mm-hmm. And I was opposite, in the evening, mm-hmm. I was opposite children and thought they will, we will all be at the entrance. And he didn't come and didn't come. And at last I sent the children to bed, and he came about at 10:30 in the evening in the car. And of course he was very tired. And just getting out in his wheelchair and in his room, I didn't see much of him. And we had chosen, of course, the best room for him, the nicest, but it was upstairs. And he, of course, chose one room downstairs and a very small room. Well, after that, we went upstairs with I was the children and the maiden and somebody else. And then I didn't see much of Baba. Sometimes I got a glimpse when he was in the courtyard, or sometimes in the evening when all Mandali, women Mandali met with him. But I saw quite a lot of Mani. Especially, she was in silence at that time, and but she always played with my children, and they loved her. I know that the little one, she told me, if I could choose, I would want Mani as my mother and Nilo as my father. She loved Nilo. Of course, a man Mandali lived in another house. And we always brought them the lunch mm-hmm. and the breakfast and everything. Max was with a man, Mandali, about 5 minutes walk. Mm-hmm. Nilo was there, and Duncan, and Sarosh, and Meji, Kustaji, and Arend Fuhrman, the man who is with Hedy Mertens, mm-hmm. and Max. Arend, A-R-E-N-D. Fuhrman, F-U-H-R-R-M-A-N-N. Two N, yes. He is, so to say, the adoptive son of Hedy Mertens. Yes. He still lives here.
So
we had a great contact with the men Mandali and also with the women Mandali. Mehara very little, because she most of the time was in her room and with Baba. And she only went to the doctor always for x-rays and so on. And a massage. Masseur came to massage Baba. But I saw very little of Meharan Baba.
Mm-hmm. Meharan, did she have a bandage?
No, but she had a scar. What do you call it? Scar here.
And
the doctor said he has never seen such a bad broken head. It was amazing that she came, really, that she could survive.
This was a doctor in Lugano?
Yes, yes. They several times went to hospital there.
How did Mera go?
Well, Irene, especially Irene, and they had a special taxi driver. They rented a taxi for the whole time when Baba was there. And of course, Goya was there with them. And Rano, Mani, Mera, Meru.
So
Mera's
room was quiet.
Yes.
And then do you ever have any private talk with Baba?
No, nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Max had, I think, once a private talk with him, but I didn't have any. And and they stayed for about a fortnight, and then they left for Geneva, and then I cleaned the house with Hedy Mertens. For me, it was a wonderful time because it was an atmosphere really of love and very joyful, and was fine. And Hedy Mertens is a marvelous cook. It was fine for me to be with her.
And you rented them to Geneva?
She came with, I think it was a mandolin man to Geneva to arrange for the flight because they had to arrange for visas and all that. And later on, Baba went away to Bombay again, and it bothered me for a long, long time that I had not such emotions with Baba. And I always thought, well, I don't love him, I can't love him. It's just dead or sleeping, I don't know. Until years later, I knew that love is not just this good feeling, and it's just trying to live as he wants you to live. I never did doubt that he was the avatar or something really special. And I had also told to my children, you will see somebody like Christ, Jesus Christ. And they accepted it quite easily. But it's strange too. Neither the eldest nor the youngest are Baba lovers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't object him, but nothing special. And strange with the children of Hedy Mertens too. You just can't force it.
What are her children's
names? The eldest is Anne-Katrine, a girl. Anne-Katrine. K-A-T-R-O-T-H-R-E-I-N. Katrine. R-I-N.
Not with an A.
No. And the second boy is Wolfie. Wolf. W-O-L-F. And then there are not children of Walter Mertens, from her first husband. Yeah. And then she has two boys from Walter Mertens. Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R. P-I-E-T-E-R. And Tobias, T-O-B-I. A.S. Toby. Toby is living in near Los Angeles.
So this Anne-Katrine Wolf is by previous marriage?
She is married, and
these are children
from her first marriage, yes. The second name is Rolly. R-O-E-L-L-I.
And they
met Bauhaus? Yes, already as children, all together. Mm-hmm. When he was there in 34, 5, 6, 7, mm-hmm. they always met him. He lived there for weeks in mm-hmm. their house. And Anna-Katrin loved Barbara very much. Mm-hmm. And then she was married to director of KLM, the Dutch mm-hmm. airlines. And her husband didn't love Barbara at all. He was jealous and he said, either Barbara or me, you can choose, but not with me. And when he was there in 52, he forbid her to come to see Barbara at her mother's house. She could come nevertheless because he had to go away for 2 days. And then Barbara told her, you have to obey your husband and to be with your husband. But I will help you.